ibuprofen tablets, they're actually quite delicious. Some of the Nurofen over-the-counter anti-inflammatory medication tastes very nice. They have one that tastes quite sweet. Don't worry, I don't eat it like sweets. I'm just mentioning it. It's quite a novelty in the world of medication to have something that's there to mask pain. It's there to mask all your pain and troubles. You shove one into your mouth and it masks everything. And if it tastes nice, that's a bonus. Some would say that's a negative. Some would say tablets and meds should not taste nice. That encourages overuse. And that's true, but if you're just looking for something that tastes nice, you can go to the sweet shop. It's much cheaper. Well, today's prices. Confectionery is getting rather expensive, but not as expensive as a packet of Nurofen ibuprofen. So, until it gets to the point where a packet of 12 sweets is more than 10 euros, we don't have to worry about people taking drugs just because they taste nice. In my day, you get a can of 12 disgusting cans of lukewarm lager. You go and drink them behind a shed on Bray Seafront on the Esplanade. And if it was your first time, you'd puke up after 3 cans. And then you say, this is disgusting. Why do people drink? This is disgusting. And then you bought out Alco Pops and the kids realize you get these nice carbonated beverages. They basically taste like carbonated orange or lemon drinks or whatever. You pour them down your greedy gullets like there's no tomorrow. It'd be like drinking candy, as you Americans call it. That's what you Americans call it. You call it drinking candy. I assume you do. You certainly call candy candy. So I presume you call this stuff drinking candy. Or else you say drinking soda. When I think of soda, I think of washing up liquid. And I think, oh Christ, washing up liquid. That's something you use to wash the glass to get rid of the fucking gunk your so-called soda puts on the glass. You clean that off. Ironically, you put this washing up liquid into it. And if you don't clean every trace of the washing up liquid out of the glass, it just makes it worse. Because then you're drinking washing up liquid next time you use it. You don't want that. They managed to create a home heating oil that smells of nothing. You have to add a smell to it for safety. They've also managed to create cooking oil that tastes of nothing, so it doesn't interfere with your cooking. You can just put this oil to fry stuff up in and it doesn't affect the taste at all. But for some reason, washing up liquid, that has a taste, a foul, disgusting taste. So if you happen to have some in the glass, next time you go and fill it with a beverage, even though it's completely clean, it's so clean it's still got washing up liquid in it that hasn't been used up. Because if you put too much washing up liquid in it, it doesn't use at all. It's like when you get a sponge and the sponge is full of water and you can't add more water to it, no matter what. If you put too much washing up liquid in your glass, it has to be gotten rid of because it tastes like, well, it doesn't taste terrible. How did you mention it? Washing up liquid doesn't taste bad at all. It just does something to your throat that's unpleasant. Or that we've deemed to be unpleasant or undesirable. Is it really that unpleasant though? And you think about it. Think about the taste of washing up liquid now. I presume you've accidentally tasted it at some point. Or I presume you've intentionally tasted it at some point. Or I presume you've intentionally tasted it at some point, but you want to pretend to yourself and to me that you did it accidentally. These same people, they'll say they don't know what washing up liquid tastes like. They'll proudly tell you that they've tasted their own piss. But if you ask them if you know what washing up liquid tastes like, they'll say, no, I've no idea. Well, what in the name of Christ do you wash your beverage ware with after you've drunk your piss? I don't know. Maybe you drink it straight out of the toilet. I suppose that might be preferable. If you drink it out of the toilet, presumably you keep your toilet reasonably clean and urine, of course. As all these urine consumers like to tell us, urine is sterile, it's very safe. You can drink some urine and it's like a detox, a self-made detox. You pour this stuff into you and then it comes out and then you pour it back in and then it comes out and then you pour it back in and then it comes out. You do that a few times and then it loses its effectiveness. You don't get any more nutrition out of it. You keep putting it back in and then it keeps coming out and you keep wondering why it keeps coming out. So you put her back in. You say, I must be leaking. I must be leaking. And then you put her back in. And then you let it out an hour or two later. And then you pour it back into your mouth. Comes out again an hour or two later. And then you pour it back into your mouth. You may notice the taste is changing. I'm not going to say it's becoming less pleasant, because you clearly don't find the taste to be unpleasant at all if you're doing this. So there's no point telling you that it's going to get even more unpleasant, because apparently you're immune to that. Did you ruin your taste buds with hot sauce when you were younger, perhaps? I went through a period where whatever the strongest Thai curry is, green or red or yellow, can't remember, I get that and I'd add extra hot sauce to it. And then before that, I'd get a spring roll. You foreigners have spring roll, I don't know. You have spring rolls. It's basically a fried thing. It's like the savoury equivalent of a McDonald's apple pie. You put your finger into it and it burns it to a crisp. But the great thing about this is you can bite the top off a spring roll. And then you have essentially a hollow sack that you can pour hot sauce into. Kind of stir it around with a fork. If you turn out you accidentally put too much, that's no problem. You put a couple of potato chips into it. Now, not the ones that you Americans have that come in the bag that you eat as snacks. No, I'm talking about potato fries. Proper thick ones. Hot potato fries. You get a bag of chips with your spring roll. Another way you could do this, in fact, is pour the hot sauce onto the plate. Dip your chip into the hot sauce and then stick that inside the spring roll. And you don't take it out, you eat the spring roll with the chips inside it. Now, I find that a bit wasteful because you're only going to use about a fifth of a bag of chips doing that. But you plan that when you're ordering your food, I suppose. Does anyone else have a use for 4/5 of a bag of chips if I order one? I'm sure you can come to some arrangement with one of your co-eaters, take whatever number of chips you need from the bag, and then someone else uses them to accompany whatever they're getting. I'm sure that's perfectly possible. Why not? Now, where was... Oh, yes. So you're doing that all your life, and you've probably ruined your taste buds, and that's why you're drinking piss, and you're letting it out, and drinking it again, letting it out, and drinking it again, and you're thinking, oh, It's tasteless. You probably think you've destroyed the taste of your own piss by drinking it too much. Well, rest assured, it still tastes pungent. You just can't taste it. If you were to give that to someone else to drink, well, firstly, they'd call the police. They say, this fella's trying to get me to drink piss. And not only is it piss, it's the piss that's being recycled through himself several times. So it's piss to the power of 5, or as you mathematicians call it, piss to the 5, or piss to the 6, or however many times it's being powered off by reconsuming it. Piss to the 7. I don't know why you would do that. Why would you drink your piss over and over and over and over again? Maybe you're thirsty, I suppose. You pass these apartment buildings now, the modern ones. Every one of them, there's a door with a rail attached on the outside, and that's a balcony. Maybe more of a big window. You're letting the outside in rather than going outside. You're opening it up so the air can come in. You have patio doors in your one-room flat. You open that up and there's the outside world and there's a rail to stop you jumping. And that's called a balcony. I suppose it's something. You get to pretend you're outside if you go up to the railing that extends 3 inches outside. It's a shelf. You're going out to sit on a shelf. And it's more so people can look at you. It makes the building look interesting if there are people coming out onto a shelf outside. You're basically living in a cuckoo clock. I don't know if you young people remember cuckoo clocks. I never saw one in my life. I've seen them on TV, and we had fancy antique clocks in our house. None of them were cuckoo clocks, but they chimed every hour. And I could well imagine if that was a cuckoo clock. You have this antique clock, and then above the face of the clock, And it's kind of a roof, and then in the roof there's these doors that open when it chimes on the hour. And a fake cuckoo slides out and it goes cuckoo, cuckoo, cuckoo. Goes cuckoo, cuckoo, cuckoo. So if it's 6 o'clock, it goes cuckoo, 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 cuckoo. And then it goes back in and the doors close. I think the nearest I got to seeing a lot of this on TV was in the Irish children's television programme Wonderly Wagon. They had a puppet called Crow. Was he in a clock? I'm not sure now. He used to poke his head out of a hole in the wall. And now that I think about it, that might not have been a clock or a cuckoo clock or anything like that. Maybe it was just a hole in the wall. Surely it wasn't just a hole in the wall. They live in a caravan. There was a hole in the wall of a caravan. That would mean Crow was outside and he was looking into the house. But they treated him as if he was a member of the family, or a pet, or a friend. Traditional 1980s sitcoms, there was always some next door neighbour who poked their heads in and chat to the neighbour. Mr. Crow, I got the idea he was part of the family and he lived there, he or she. Was he called Mr. Crow? I'm not sure. Wonderly Wagon for you foreigners is like the Muppet Show, except on a budget of 12 old pounds and 5 shillings, a man and a woman and a couple of puppets, a dog and a crow, and there's an evil witch or something like that. They'd have adventures and there was a magical wagon. Can't remember if the wagon flew, did it? No. There was a spin-off called 40 Coats where there was a flying sweet shop. But I can't remember if the wagon in Wonderly Wagon flew. No, it did. Of course it did. The opening sequence had it flying. They've deleted nearly every episode. We used to delete television programmes to make room for new ones in this country. From what I understand, you Americans have some sort of institute where it's like a national television archive. For every programme that gets added in the national television archive, they set up a new television in some corner of the museum and that's playing 24/7 on the screen there. I hope at least that goes into standby mode if no one's watching for a while. Probably people coming from all over the country, this National Television Museum. Presume it's located somewhere in the middle of the country, maybe. Philadelphia would be a good place for a television museum. It's the home of the Oprah Winfrey program, isn't it? And isn't there also a Sesame Street something to do with Philadelphia? Maybe not. Maybe I've made that up. But anyways, Oprah Winfrey was on in Philadelphia, so I presume there's a lot of television going on there. There must be, surely. Stands to reason. The fact I've heard of Philadelphia means it's probably on TV quite a bit. Because everything I know about America, I learn from TV, and I seem to know about Philadelphia. I was in Philadelphia once for a night. My brother and I went. He drove. I sat in the passenger seat. This was the day before the first anniversary of 9/11. And we drove into Philadelphia. My brother pulled up at some motel in the city centre. He got out, he went in to make inquiries. And within 15 seconds, my first introduction to your Philadelphia was having some sort of parking cop come up and tell me that I needed to tell my brother to come back and move the car within the next couple of minutes or he'd fine or so, whatever you do. So that was my welcome to your city. Thanks very much. We stayed there for the night and then we drove on. Got to see New York from a distance, from some highway or turnpike or something on the first anniversary of 9/11. You could see what looked like blades of grass, but were apparently the skyscrapers of your city. So we got to see them from that distance. We didn't go into the city. We didn't want to add to your troubles on the first anniversary of 9/11. I'm sure you had enough things to be doing without having to entertain visitors. Two cats walk into a bar. One of the cats says, "Hello, can I have a pint of your finest Mountain Dew, please?" And the man behind the bar says, "Certainly, sir. Now you do realise that's an energy drink. It'll keep you awake." And the cat says, "Well, what's the Guinness is good for you? Is that not an energy drink?" Their slogan, at least it used to be, a pelican with the slogan, "Guinness is good for you." Presumably comparing it to the benefits of eating white meat that feeds on fish all the time. I presume the purpose of the pelican on the old Guinness advertising was to suggest that it's not quite as good as eating fish all the time, but you're eating poultry and you're eating a type of poultry that eats fish its entire life. Is that right? Oh, wait a minute, that can't be right. Is a pelican a thing that lives by the sea? I'm not sure. Is it like a penguin? Or is a puffin a different thing as well? I get confused now, because the old Guinness ads, they have a pelican on us, don't they? And then you have Penguin Publishing. They also have a thing called puffin. So there's another thing called puffin. So that's three different things, all begin with P, and they're all things that I think, I haven't thought this through, but aren't those all things that are kind of birds, but they walk around on beaches and they have a funny walk and they're black and white? There's an island as well, somewhere off the coast of this country. There's a little island where they've been going to film Star Wars lately because it has some sort of thing that's not penguins, it's some sort of a bird, and they film them and they do something graphically to it and it turns them into alien mammals of some kind, and it's a big deal and the island is now famous for that. I really don't give a flying fuck about Star Wars. And that's not meant as any offence to you. If you're in Star Wars, no, that's no problem. I'm fine with you being in Star Wars. Or if you watch Star Wars, that's fine. That's your life you're squandering away on that. I've never seen it. I might have been in a room where Star Wars was being played on a television when I was about 10. I had no interest in it whatsoever. It's all fantasy. There's enough going on in the real world without having another world of fantasy that you have to worry about. Don't fantasize about war. That's ridiculous. War is not something to fantasize about. I remember the early years of my childhood in school, there was kids collecting Star Wars figures. I remember this fella saying, I have 70-something Star Wars figures. And it turns out some of them are humanoid figurines. And then there's some of them that are just this robot thing with legs, a big tall thing. A robot in the shape of a dinosaur has just got four legs, like Transformers or something, except it doesn't transform. Transforms to a hole in your parent's wallet. That's all it transforms into. And you're collecting these and you're doing what? Lying on the sitting room floor, moving them around. I was doing the exact same with my Lego airport. I can tell you it was a lot more peaceful and positive. I had a Lego airport, 18 inches of runway. You get a helicopter landing pad. And you get a little airport terminal building that's got, well, got no back wall on it. The bottom floor consists of one small room that's got a luggage thing, and that's about it. And then upstairs there's two seats, and I think that's the restaurant. I had fun. There's a little aeroplane. It has about four seats on it. There's no room for an aisle in the Lego aeroplane. It was a commercial plane, but you don't enter it through the door. You open up the whole roof and left windows. You put them into the seats manually. They don't enter through a door or anything. I think the pilot is permanently sealed in the cockpit because there's no way to get them out unless you disassemble the plane. But with Lego, you can disassemble it quite easily, to be fair. And it was a lot more positive than any Star Wars figurines. No, thank you very much. If you're going to do the Star thing, at least do Star Trek. Because that's set in the real world. It's set in a future version of our real world. And at least if there's wars going on in that, those are related to our real world. And we need to not ignore the possibility of war in the real world. It's not in some fantasy fictional thing, no. Star Wars isn't real and you don't want it to be real. Star Trek is, well, it's not real. It's a possible future to think about how you want the possible future to be. That's the difference. If you're listening to this from the deck of a submarine, I don't mean inside the submarine, some deck where you go to socialise with your other submarine crew members. I presume you're on some one of these military submarines that has hundreds of people living on it, where you spend months and months and months under the sea. I presume those things have some sort of a deck, kind of a balcony up on the roof where Occasionally it goes up to the surface and you can go out on the roof on a little roof deck, have a look outside, see the world through something other than a periscope. I presume they have that. You see submarines on television. In fact, if you see submarines at all, by definition, they are above the water because you can't see them when they're under the water. So if you see a submarine at all, any time you've ever seen a submarine, I guarantee you, unless you're a deep sea diver, any time you've seen a submarine, it's been at least partially above the surface of the water. So I presume there's a deck you can go out on. Maybe put some deck chairs out. You can sit out on the deck, because even in high security prisons, you get to go out for an hour a day into some sort of a courtyard. You get to walk around in circles or use a football. You can bounce that against the wall. Or maybe you're not allowed to have a football and you just practice jumping. I watched a movie recently. There was a fella, he's not allowed near anyone else. And he's apparently not allowed a football or anything. So he goes out and immediately starts jumping and doing the action of putting a ball into a basketball net. But there's no basketball net and there's no basketball. So he's basically miming. Like one of those kids' entertainers where they mime and they pretend they're stuck inside a glass cage trying to get out and they make faces and they're usually wearing clown paint. It was like that. Except it looked less ridiculous because he was actually getting some exercise out of this. He was doing the movements of jumping and pushing a baseball up into a basket. He was jumping. He was getting some physical exercise just from his imagination. That's quite a good use of his time. That's quite an enterprising criminal there. But presumably he's been too enterprising in other ways and that's what's landed him in trouble so much that he's in a courtyard on his own, not allowed to interact with anyone else or use a football. They could at least give him the basketball net, have it fixed to the wall above him, so like he can use it to attack anyone. So he can at least pretend to have the ball, but have a real basket to aim at. What damage can you do with a basketball net? I suppose eat it and destroy your inside so much that you have to be brought to the hospital and then you get out of prison for a bit. Anyway, you're on the deck of a submarine listening to this. Now, I know, realistically, nobody is listening to this on the deck of a submarine. Except maybe, I don't know, maybe 100 years from now when we've had World War IV and we've all destroyed ourselves, the equivalent of Noah's Ark, except they're on a submarine. Maybe there's a few people left on that. And they've somehow accessed the archives of this podcast on archive.org. Despite archive.org having gone bankrupt in 2026, they've somehow the files have ended up somewhere. Maybe there's that. But no, realistically, it's very, very unlikely that anyone is listening to this on the deck of a submarine. It's quite likely that you'd be on the deck of a submarine, but yeah, you'd be listening to this while you're doing that. No. Because for one thing, in that scenario where you're living on a submarine and you get an hour to go out on deck, probably spend weeks hiding underwater and then you go out on deck for your hour, you're not going to waste that listening to podcasts, are you? You're probably not. You'll certainly download podcasts during that hour because the most likely place you can get access to internet is above the surface of the water. So you'll certainly download stuff, but you won't listen to it there. Maybe you'll do that basketball thing. Now be careful if you're doing the miming basketball playing on a deck of a submarine. It's not like the deck of a normal ship. It's probably extra slippy. It's probably curved. It's not really designed for leisure. It's just a top viewing deck just above the hatch where you come out on the roof of the submarine. Hopefully there's at least a safety rail. But no, I'm sure it's not like a deck of a ship that we imagine. And even the deck of a ship is dangerous, as we all know. Anyone who's watched Titanic knows you can go out on the deck of a ship and next thing you know it's vertical and you're sliding down to the other end of the ship to your death. You're being sucked into the water, which is what a submarine is for, but you don't want to be on the outside of it while that's happening. No, be careful. Now, I would assume, unless it's a prison submarine, they let you use a ball. But you probably don't want to do that on deck because you lose that, you can't get it back. It goes into the water. They're not going to let you go and have a swim and find it. No. In the grown-up world, kids don't realise this, you see. When kids lose a ball, they kick it into your garden accidentally or something. They've been raised with the expectation that they can go up to your door, and if they're polite and nice and innocent enough, they can say, "Hello, mister, I lost my ball." And you'll cave in and give it to them. And you usually say something like, "Yes, but this is the last time I'm ever doing it. Until tomorrow." And they get their ball back. But these kids grow up and they end up on a military submarine and they go out for their hour on deck every few weeks and they think they can kick around the ball there and if it goes into the water, no problem. They can just go and fetch it. No, you can't just go and fetch it. Unless maybe, I suppose if you have a dog on board, that would be useful. If the dog can swim, how would it be useful? Because you're throwing this ball and even before it goes into the water, if it's not going to go into the water, the dog's impulse is to chase anything that you throw. So it's going to chase the ball, knock its paw against it and knock it into the water, even if it wasn't going to go into the water in the first place. So the dog's just going to add to the trouble. Or at least the dog then can follow it into the water and go and fetch it. Now, hopefully you want one of those balls that you can't puncture with your teeth. Well, I say your teeth, the dog's teeth. You can't puncture with the dog's teeth. Are there footballs and beach balls that don't have air in them or something, or they're sealed, or they don't puncture, or they're unbreakable? There must be. I remember as a child, we had bicycles that had some kind of wheels that didn't have traditional tyres on them, so you didn't have to worry about punctures, like what you have on a wheelbarrow or something. Have that, but as a ball, surely you can. Everything doesn't have to be like a tyre. Everything doesn't have to be filled with air. Not that there's anything wrong with that. Filling something with air is very efficient. Anything that you can design and manufacture that contains air as one of its key ingredients, such as, for example, a giant beach ball, most of the bulk of that beach ball is air. You can get air pretty much for free. The only cost is in harvesting the air. The air itself is free. You're allowed to use it. It's exactly like those water manufacturers that people get mad at. The bottled water people, they go and harvest the water from some river somewhere and there's all sorts of environmental problems. You can do the same thing with air. Nobody gives out about the people doing it with the air though. You see them in shops sometimes. They sell the beach balls with the air already fully installed. So this air has been harvested from somewhere. Now, normally when you're blowing up a beach ball, you're usually the only one there who's blowing up a beach ball. So it's not like you're using up all of the local air to blow up hundreds of beach balls. But at the factory, they're blowing them all up. They're blowing up thousands and thousands of beach balls. So they're using thousands and thousands of square cubic feet of air from the same region. So surely that's going to be a problem. I don't know. So anyway, if you're going to be on the deck of a submarine playing with a ball, you want a dog. And that's the difference between a submarine and a ship, because a ship traditionally has a ship's cat. At least it did in the funny comic strips that I read as a child. Whenever they had anything about a ship, it had a ship's cat. And the ship's cat was basically there to catch rats and get rid of them and do stuff like that. Or maybe it was just a tradition. And they never talk about a ship's dog. I presume a submarine would find it useful to have a dog. But sometimes, occasionally, something's going to go into the water and you need someone to fetch it. Now, that could happen on the ship as well, but you don't want a dog jumping into the water from a ship. Because if you're on the deck of a ship, you're tens of meters above the surface. If the dog jumps into the water there, it's not going to be able to climb back up to the deck. See, you don't want that. So you have to rescue your dog then every time it rescues your ball. That's not a thing. No. On a submarine where it just peaks just above the surface so the deck is nearly level with the surface, that's not a problem. The dog can get back up onto the deck quite easily or you can help it. So that's not a problem. So I presume that's why you have ship's cats and why you should have submarine dogs. Or maybe you shouldn't. Maybe it's cruel to keep a dog on a submarine because it's probably going to go weeks where it doesn't even get out into the open air. But then I don't know. If you're in this scenario 100 years from now where everything's flooded and your submarine is basically the Noah's Ark of the 22nd century, then the dog should be glad to be anywhere. It's alive, isn't it? You should have two dogs on that submarine then. If it's a Noah's Ark, you have a male dog and a female dog, and they're going to be responsible for any future dogs that exist on the planet. The same goes for all the other animals. You'll want the cat as well then, of course. You'll want at least two. In fact, you'll want more than two cats, because you don't want to be telling cats, that's your mate now, you don't get a choice. No, that's cruel. Don't do that. Dogs don't care, because if they do care, I don't care. But cats, no. You need to have a few cats on a Noah's Ark type submarine, so they can at least have a choice of who to reproduce with. And then, of course, you want to preserve all the different colours of cats as well. I want there to still be ginger cats and black and white cats and tortoise shell cats. Two of each at least. Just as you would want to preserve all our valuable artwork that's in the museums, you'd want to put that onto Noah's Ark. You want to preserve all the different varieties of cat as well. I presume you do anyway, unless you're a complete philistine. Now, of course, you don't need to. I say you want to preserve all these artworks. The Mona Lisa, there's millions of digital copies of the Mona Lisa. You don't need the original one. You can just say, everyone who wants to see the Mona Lisa has either seen it or has access to a digital copy of it. We'll keep the digital copy and that'll be fine. Been there, done that. Downloaded the image. But you can't just download a cat. We can't have a situation where nobody has ever seen a cat of a particular colour or variety. You have to preserve those things. It's a living museum of sorts. You don't need a living museum for the Mona Lisa. For one thing, she's been dead for hundreds of years. The painting depicts her somewhat alive. What the fuck is the Mona Lisa? Some woman. She's sitting there. She's sitting there exactly as I am now, sitting on a chair. I'm sitting on a kind of a somewhat antique chair. Well, I say antique, it's probably about 30 years old. But his antique style, it's got curved wood and stuff. I don't particularly like it. That's why it's in here in the spare room. Well, I'm using it. It keeps me upright and alert and awake while I'm recording, and it doesn't squeak too much. It does squeak a bit. Of course, that's the problem with these old style chairs. They're wooden. When they start creaking, you can't oil them. You can't just put oil into the wood and upholstery, because it gets everywhere. You sit down and you get wet instantly, and everyone thinks you have somehow wet yourself from behind. And if you're male, if you wet yourself from behind, people assume that you've done more than wet yourself, that you've had diarrhea, because you can't wet yourself from behind that easily. Well, let's not go into that. And of course, oil and water don't mix, so maybe that's not relevant. Maybe that's not relevant, I don't know. Maybe that's not relevant. Why does it have to be relevant? This show doesn't operate on relevancy. It operates on stream of consciousness, and my stream of consciousness has now gone on to having diarrhea in an antique chair, except it's not diarrhea, but everyone thinks it's diarrhea because you've sat down in your chair that's wet because you tried to oil it, and people think he couldn't possibly have pissed on the back of his pants. That must be diarrhea. Now, of course, I suppose I could just have a shower and change before they see me. There's nobody in here. There's nobody in, unless there's a cat who I missed when I was clearing out the room. I don't think so, though. I'd have heard them by now. I've been in here a while. So no, I suppose we're safe enough. Anyway, the Mona Lisa, she's sitting there just as I'm sitting here now in this chair. She may well have been on a similar chair. She could have been on the exact same chair, except it wasn't an antique chair because in her time it was brand new. It could have just been delivered that day. Leonardo da Vinci or Vincent van Gogh. That's right. One of them did the Mona Lisa, didn't they? And if I'll be said, come in here and have a sit down, have a new chair especially for you. You come and sit down in this, it's going to be great. You sit down there, make yourself comfortable. I want to see how comfortable you are in your face, in your expression, so I can record that. So she sits on this stupid new chair. It's just been installed. probably smells of plastic or something. Did they cover new furniture in plastic for deliveries in those days? They probably didn't. In fact, there probably wasn't deliveries. You probably just bought it off some fella in the market out on the street selling furniture. And says, oh, here's your chair. And you say, thanks very much. And you bring it home. You don't even have a shopping bag or a car to put it into. I don't know how they delivered furniture back in the day before vehicles. Maybe on a horse. Oh yes, I'll buy this chair. And they say, no problem, we'll deliver it to you on this horse. I once bought a very heavy, what I thought was a bespoke coat stand, a big wooden thing carved out of a tree. So I just bought a house 3/4 of a mile from the shop. I was there on my own, so I bought this thing as a surprise for my wife. And I carried it up to the house on foot. Nearly fucking killed myself and got some funny looks. Big chunk of wood. It's like a tree. A branch is sticking out of it and you hang your coats on that. Well, you try to. There's no hooks as such. You're hanging your coat on branches. Of course, everyone knows you don't want to hang a coat on a branch. Either hang it on a coat hanger, which you need a hook for, or you hang it on a hook. You don't hang it on a big thick branch. It was nice. It was a nice coat thing. And I brought her home on my own. No deliveries. I'm sure they would have. They would have delivered. In fact, I lied to the fella. He said, do you want a hand with that, bringing it out to your car or whatever? I said, oh, no, thank you. I'm not very far away. He said, are you sure? I said, yes, I'm fine, thanks. His little shop, one man shop. I'm sure if he was going to help me to my car, he'd have had to shut down the place for half an hour and gone out of business because of me. No. I don't want help with things like that. This was about 20 years ago. It was this tiny little local shop, which is open about 3 days a week, and then it closed the rest of the week. And I think the fella made this furniture on those other days. He made it himself in the back of the shop. And then a few months later, I noticed the so-called bespoke coat stand was there again. It had appeared outside the fella's shop, because he puts all his furniture outside his shop. On the pavement when it's open. He carries it in and out every day. He'd made another one, another of these bespoke things. It looked exactly the same to me. I don't know how they make them. Do they get a tree and just cover it with varnish or what? But it looked very like it. So that was disappointing. My first attempt at being a connoisseur of bespoke furniture. And it turns out it wasn't bespoke at all. He's probably churning them out, at least 2 or 3 of them a year. I don't know. Or else I was the only one who ever bought one, and that next one he got was the last one he ever made because no one else bought them. I don't know. So if I was to say, to Mona Lisa, she's sitting on this chair, and your man says, how's the chair? I got a new chair. What do you think of it? And of course, all the Mona Lisa can say to that is, I don't know, because I haven't tried your old chair for comparison. How is it compared to what? What do we want me to compare it to? Ah, of course, Leonardo, Van Gogh, whoever it is, will say, this, are you enjoying sitting on it? And the Mona Lisa, of course, will say, I'm enjoying it as much as I enjoy sitting on any other chair, thank you. Which tells him nothing. So all he knows is, oh, Christ. I have to paint her thoughts onto this face thing on the canvas. And she's giving me nothing. She's barely telling me nothing about what she thinks about this fucking chair. Was she afraid I'm going to go and post it on social media or something? No, there's no social media. It's the 17th century or something. Is that when the Mona Lisa was? Is it the 17th century? I don't know. Whenever it was a long time ago anyway. Maybe she was going to go tell her friends about this weirdo who brought her into the shop and said, I'm going to paint you now. And she thought he was going to do a face painting. She didn't understand at all. He said, oh, I thought you were going to do a face painting of me. And of course, he'll say, yes, I am. I'm going to paint your face on this lovely canvas here. I've a lovely plain canvas here that I've got. I've got some paints here. I've got some oil-based paints. Now keep them away from the chair because you can't oil one of those chairs. In fact, no furniture exists at all yet that you can oil, I don't think. Maybe not. Did they have metal furniture in those days? Maybe they did. In fact, maybe in his workshop he might have had a metal anvil or something, or whatever you use. Well, her easel's made out of, that was probably wooden. And her face was wooden. Anyway, he didn't have very much to work with, so that's how the Mona Lisa ended up like that. Wait a minute though, if you're in this big submarine, it presumably has a gymnasium. Well, you're probably thinking, yeah, sometimes you just want to get out on deck and relax. Like when you go outside in your back garden, you're not always going out there to have a go on the barbells or work on your fitness. You just want to go out and chillax. And sometimes the basketball thing is just something you do to chillax. It's not something you do to exercise or to train to be on a basketball team. No. Why would you train to be on a basketball team on a submarine? Well, I suppose. For one thing, nothing. For another thing, no. You're out there to enjoy the air. I presume you are. Maybe it's not your downtime. You're not being sent out for recreation. You're being sent out to survey the outside world. You've been under the sea for a few weeks. Your sergeant, or whatever he's called, tells you to go out on deck and see if the outside world is still there. See if the flood has subsided yet. It probably hasn't, because as you can see, we're a submarine and we're in water, so there's still water. Or it's hard to tell while you're under the water. It's hard to tell whether or not the floods have subsided. It's hard to tell while you're down there whether or not the floods have subsided yet. So you have to go up and see. Have a look around. Does it look like you can see the tip of a mountain sticking out through the surface of the water? Well, then it's still flooded. If you can see a full mountain in the distance, looks like a normal mountain the way it should be, it's not under the water, then the floods have subsided. You have to figure that out. And the only way you can figure that out is the old-fashioned way, by going up on deck and having a look. See what you can see. Has it at least stopped raining? You can see that, can't you? See, has it stopped raining? I know you think you can probably tell that by looking out the window, but no. The sea splashes up in the window for a start, even if it's above the water. It's hard to tell if it's raining from inside the submarine. I presume it is anyway. Never been on a submarine. The closest I've been to being on a submarine is a helicopter. But let's not go into that again.
Into your head.
I don't know if you foreigners know about Lidl. You probably do, because it's a foreign supermarket chain. It's set up here about 20 years ago. This hellhole that we know as Lidl, this godforsaken hellhole, is everywhere now. Even places that don't have a Starbucks, the sort of places that don't have Starbucks, even them, they all have either a Lidl or an Aldi, or sometimes both. Every Lidl I've ever lived near to, every 5 years or so, they shut it down for a couple of months, either for renovations or they demolish it and rebuild it from scratch. And suddenly you have a majestic entrance where there's a huge bakery thing and there are smells of bakery and big open spaces. And you think, oh, this is great. It's a whole new supermarket. But then you go further in and it's still just a box. Just a slightly bigger box than it used to be. Rows and rows of stuff. It's hard to find anything. It's still a fucking Lidl, no matter what you put on it. You can put a fancy hat on it. You can put a bakery at the front. The front of it is made of glass. It's too bright. Now you're probably thinking, what's wrong with being bright? There's nothing wrong with being bright if you're you. There's something wrong with being bright if you're me. I can't handle bright light. I don't mean as a concept. I'm fine with the concept of bright light. I know it's useful in some situations, but not to me. Suffice to say, no matter what you put on it, you can put your fancy entrance, you can put your bollocks. I think this segment has run its course. Has it? Probably has. I think we're approaching the end of today's episode of this. So if I stop talking at some point and some music comes in and then ends and then something else comes on your player with someone else on it, don't be surprised, it just means the podcast has ended. That's normal. I say a load of stuff, then there's some music, and then I go away. So unless you're a complete nut and you have another episode of this podcast lined up to play after this. Which, why would you? For one thing, the last episode of this was 2 weeks ago. You should be well sick of that by now. You should have just listened to it once and then disposed of it. And then had 2 weeks of nothing from me. That's the healthy way to do it. The best way to listen to this podcast is to listen to the new episode when it comes out. Enjoy it if you can. If you can find some way to enjoy it, good for you. And then just forget about it. Listen to other stuff for the next week or two until another episode turns up. And then it'll be nice and fresh again. You can think, oh yes, I remember, I enjoyed an episode of this a while back. And now there's a new one. Haven't heard it for a while, because that's why there are gaps between programs. When they put out a new episode of Family Guy, they don't end it and then there's another new episode directly after that, and then another new episode and another new episode. No, you wouldn't do that to your dog. If you got treats for your dog and they seem to be enjoying them, you wouldn't keep throwing treats at it non-stop all day, every day. Especially if it's chocolate. Don't give your dog chocolate treats all day. There's people I know who, they'll say, I feed chocolate to my dog and it's fine. That's what they'll claim. Be careful what you believe from them, because they may be lying. They're just trying to be argumentative. They hear everyone warning people, don't give chocolate to your dog. And they just want to be different. They want to put it out there that they give chocolate to their dog and it's fine. Maybe they're trying to make everyone think that their dog is particularly impressive or something, or tough. Maybe they've got some big fancy aggressive dog, or one of those macho dogs, and they want to think, oh, my dog's great, he can eat chocolate all day long. And of course, the way to reply this to that is, the way you deal with that is to tell them, oh, your dog's a big girl who eats chocolate all day. Is your dog on his period or something? Getting over a bad breakup or something? Sitting eating chocolate all day? That's a bit girly. And of course, they'll say to that, yes, it's a female dog. Do you have a problem with that? I have female cats who are quite tough and macho. They don't put up with any shit. In fact, some of the female cats are less inclined to put up with shit than male cats, I find. I don't know if the same is true in the world of tough macho dogs who eat people's heads off. And I don't know how the chocolate thing works either. Just bear that in mind. If someone tells you, oh, I feed chocolate to my dog all day and it doesn't die, use your brain and judgment. Don't just take everyone's word for it. Think about what their motive is. Anyway, if you want to listen to old episodes, that is possible. I've changed recently, so the old episodes are on something called the Into Your Head Archives feed. So if you're looking for the old shit, especially the old shit that I did between 2006 and 2016 before the break, if there's something wrong with you and you want to listen to the old shit from the old days, search for Into Your Head Archives feed or visit intoyourhead.ie/archive for links to the new archives feed. Older shows are not going to be here on the main feed anymore because fucking hell. I don't want them to be people's first impressions of this podcast. In fact, I don't want today's episode to be people's first impressions of this podcast, because I'm pretty sure today's episode isn't going to turn out to be one of the better ones. I'm here talking about whether or not to believe people when they say they feed their dog chocolate. I couldn't remember the word pelican when I went on about penguins and puffins. It's fucking ridiculous. I remembered it a couple of minutes after I stopped recording. Suffice to say, if you want more of this, search for Into Your Head Archive feed or visit intoyourhead.ie/archive. This feed will have recent episodes only from here on, the last 50 or 60, which is more than enough for any normal person. There's no reason for you to be listening to old shit. Listen to new shit. Listen to new shit like this. Or the previous episode, or the episode before that, or the episode before that, or the last few dozen episodes before that, but no earlier. Because otherwise there's something not right about you. Anyway, I think that's the end of the programme, is it? Probably is. It probably is. I'll fade myself out, and then you'll move on, and then that'll be me. Oh yes, this is definitely the end of the program. If I'm doing that, it's the end. So that's it. Good morning.